Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Excuse me, I was listening to his answer. It was great. What was it?
Sam, if you were in charge of everything, what would you make the national pastime?
Oh, I would make the national pastime just love, because I think that's a great pastime. Really good.
And we are live in the studio with the dating game. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer, Barbie. That was awesome, babe. Good job.
Do you want to know who that was?
Who was that?
Suzanne Summers.
Was it really Suzanne Summers? No way.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Leave it to you to comb the YouTube archives for the best of the best. So, welcome back, everybody. Monday. It's a holiday. Well, yesterday was a holiday, but it's still a holiday. The traffic was a breeze flying on in here to the studio, and it's real quiet in here, and Barb and I are just kicking back and having a good old time. So we are doing today part two of the whole dating thing. We talked about having the correct polaritude last week. Today we're going to talk about the correct prayeritude. So we'll get to that shortly. But first, if you have a question for me today, give me a call. Number's 877-230-3062. Again, 877-230-3062. We're actually going to be going to the phones here very shortly. I've got Jan on the line. She Facebooked me last night, bless her heart, and she's got a really powerful issue going on, and I want to get to her. I want to give her some precedence today, so we're going to get on the phone with her here in a moment, and then after the break, we're going to come back and do the dating game, and Barb's in the hot seat for that one. So, a couple little business things. If you're new to the show, if you're just tuning in or you've only listened a couple times, I would really love it if you could go to iTunes and subscribe to this show. And you can do that through actually the host page on contacttalkradio.com. You can click right on the iTunes icon on the right-hand side and you can subscribe to the show. And that way we know who's listening. And then I would also love it if you would jump on my Facebook fan page, and you can get to that from my website, michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org, and you can just click on the little links box on the right-hand side of any of the pages of the website, and it'll take you straight to Facebook, and you can jump on there as a fan. And here's what I'm loving about that. For instance, Jan, you know, got to me immediately. And so I get a chance to give her some time on the show and answer some questions. And it's a great way for me to connect to listeners and get ideas. And that is a segue to what I wanted to really say here at the beginning is thanks to my listeners for some incredible future show topics. People have been emailing me and Facebooking me about this. So check out what's coming in the future here, kids. We're going to be doing a show on balancing the human emotional experience of dealing with challenge versus the positive thinking thing, and it's claiming the blessings in the darkness. That one came straight from Deanna. Sweet Deanna gave me that idea. A show on forgiveness, a show on dealing with unconscious people. Gee, that ought to have a global side to it. A show on religion versus spirituality. Sue gave me that one. Liz gave me the forgiveness and the dealing with unconscious people one. Thanks, Liz. Sue gave me religion versus spirituality and the grieving process. and how to pray when you have trouble asking for help or you feel like you don't deserve help. So these are great topics. And you guys, I can't thank you enough for that because it makes my job easier. I don't have to twiddle my thumbs halfway during the week and go, gee, what are we going to be talking about next show? I'm going to be able to rock and roll on those for several months now. So really appreciate that. And that's what I'm loving about people being on my fan page. So would love to see you there. And if you love the music on the show, of course, and the dating game theme, by the way, that was classic. this is what I wish y'all listeners could have a video camera in here and you could watch what we're doing when these songs are going on. A little chair dancing happening that's pretty amusing. But if you do love the music, you can go to iTunes and download the songs. And I do my best to post those on Facebook. This last week I was really, the week was crazy. It was a crazy week. And it was like last night when I went, oops. I haven't posted anything, so sorry about that, everybody. I'm running a little behind. So, all right, we're going to go to the phone lines. I'm going to talk to Jan. Jan, honey, are you there?
Thank you, Michelle, so much.
Sweetheart, you're welcome. So talk to me, girl.
Okay. Well, my mom just had a really unfortunate crisis accident and broke her leg, and she's been in ICU on a ventilator, but this morning they took her off of it. But it's been touch and go because she's a high-risk patient,
right.
And I'm at the hospital right now. I tried to get away from the noise, but there's a lot of noise back here. But
you're all right.
Yesterday I just kind of panicked because they couldn't get her off the ventilator, and she has really bad lungs. Yeah. She's a real high-risk patient.
Sounds
she's
like
80
it.
Years old and has emphysema and heart problems and all kinds of problems. And I just freaked out yesterday, and I just wanted to know if she's going to live through this all. And this morning they said they took her off the ventilator, which is good. That means she can breathe on her own.
Right.
And that's a very positive suggestion here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you bet.
I'm just hoping, and I selfishly, I just want my mom to be here on Earth with me for a little while longer. And
absolutely, honey. Absolutely.
I just wondered if you were able to see us once again living it up again. Not living it up, but having a nice time for a while, maybe.
You bet. So here, and for many reasons, I wanted to get your phone call in today. First of all, one of my philosophies in my psychic work is I don't predict death. And here's the reason why I don't. I personally feel like it's an extraordinarily sacred thing, and it's I feel very voyeuristic in that, to be honest with you. And I also have a very strong philosophy that the moment that we cross over is an ongoing dialogue that we have with God in our lives. We decide when and how that's going to happen. And I believe that there are people that come onto this planet for brief periods of time who affect the world, and then they do leave in a very precise, very specific way. And then I believe that there are people who live a long life and have moments of choice, whether they're going to stay or go. And so it can vary. And the challenge in being a psychic and giving people information about the single most loaded question that anyone can ever ask a psychic.
I know.
Is,
I'm asking you a horrible question.
No, sweetheart. Don't go there.
Okay.
Don't apologize. No, here's what I'm saying to you. The reason that it's challenging is because I could tell you right now, let's say I really went ahead and broke all my own psychic rules and I plugged in and I gave you the specific time and day that she was going to cross over.
She could
change your mind 10 minutes from now.
Uh-huh,
you know, I she think, and God yeah. could have a little sit down and go, you know, I'm not quite ready. I think I want to stick around for another couple of days, whatever it is. So this is why this is such a great question. And sweetheart,
okay.
I am so glad that you called. I really am.
Okay.
And I hope you can feel me. I'm hugging you long distance. I'm not kidding you. I'm like squeezing the life out of you. Because here's the thing. The question is not whether your mom lives or dies right now. The question is, how are you going to show up in this experience, this incredible experience, because grief, which you're on the edge of, right? I mean, whether
I'm already there.
If your mom lives, you know, for 20 more years or she lives for 20 more minutes, you're going to face the grief of that loss. And grief is honestly the purest, most powerful moment when God is with us completely. It's an egoless state. And I'll tell you something else about it, honey. It really gives you the opportunity to see how much you can love, you know, to see what you're really made of when it comes to your family. And, and that's the hard part. We're not going to grieve for your mom because she's going home. Are you kidding me? You know, the angels are setting up a ticker tape parade in her honor. Trust me on this one. When that woman crosses over, they are going to be celebrating for years about it.
No.
Okay. So it's an amazing thing for your mom. Who we're going to grieve for is you. Because you're left here in this very human house of grief, and it's a really hard one. And I'll tell you what, we're not taught in this culture to grieve, and that angers me. It really angers me. We are a purple pill, MTV soundbite, fix it now culture. You know, whatever you do, don't feel, oh my God, make a decision, make a choice, do something, distract yourself, don't feel it. And that's complete garbage, if you ask my opinion. And my grandma, I saw a really interesting thing when I was about 13. My grandfather died of cancer, and he was just an amazing man. Loved him so much, and my grandmother loved him so much. Here's, to me, the epitome of a love story. My grandma washed my grandfather's hair every day. That's how much she loved him. I mean, it was amazing how much they loved each other. And when he died, everybody was convinced that grandma would be, you know, 6 months behind him. And she, boy, did she grieve. She poured herself into grief like nobody's business. And that woman went on to live an extraordinary life. She was 90. I think she was 92 or 93. Mom and Dad, if you guys are listening, I apologize that I can't remember how old she was. But she was incredible. She mowed her freaking lawn up to like the last two years of her life by herself. She was an incredible woman.
She sounds like it.
Yeah, but she gave herself permission to grieve. And that's part of this process. And it's a really scary place, but here's how you have to go into it. This is where the God thing is probably the most crucial, because the only way that your human self is going to make it through that grieving process, truly make it through and have it be an honest, clean experience, is if you're in God's hands through the whole thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so here's what I want you to be thinking about. In this experience where you're thinking, gosh, Mom, I want you to live. I want you to stick around. I want you to take a step back and recognize what's really going on for you. That's not about it. It's not about your mom. And it's okay for you to be that, quote unquote, selfish. You're human.
Yeah.
You're human. And none of us want to step into the room of grief. None of us do.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll tell you what. Here's where it gets bad. Is when you when you're standing in the doorway of grief and you got your fingernails in the door jamb and you're hanging on for dear life, refusing to step into the room because you think you're never going to come out the other side. But you will, honey. I promise you, you will.
Okay.
And here's the cool thing that I'm looking at psychically about your mom. She feels really, as odd as this may seem to you, she feels very, very peaceful to me. Like she's totally hanging in this great kind of in-between place. And in that in-between place, she may absolutely choose to stick around a bit more, or she may choose to go. And I'm going to be completely candid with you and tell you, I'm not going to look at that. I will not try and determine that for you, because that's not going to do you any good ultimately. Okay. Your experience is going to be the same, whether you have information on when she goes or whether it's a quote unquote total surprise. Trust your instincts in this. You get to midwife this. You get to be the mom in this one, right? And you get to give birth to this next adventure for your mother. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And that is really powerful, because that's living out the three phases of the goddess. You were the little girl, and now you were the maiden, and now you get to be the mother as the crone crosses over. You get to midwife her passing. That's amazing. And the way you do that, sweetheart, is you do that with your heart. You do that with your energy. That isn't even about doing anything in particular, any kind of action necessarily.
Yeah.
You'll be guided to take the right action. Trust me on that one. You'll be totally guided. Your connection to your mom is really powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I want you to focus on you right now. I want you to understand that this process is about you and what you have to deal with, and let God comfort you. He's not going to take it away from you. He's not going to, you know, he can't, but he can absolutely give you the strength, the courage, and the permission to grieve, including being angry, including being mad at God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you feeling a little of that anger?
I am.
Good. So give it to him. Don't clean it up. You hand that. Don't just hand it to God. Actually, project it onto God. I want you to focus your anger on God and be angry and get it out of your system. I have this great image of God when I go into that place where I'm pounding on his chest and I'm screaming. I'm literally screaming at him. I'm accusing him of everything under the sun. And he's got these big old arms around me. He's like, bring it on, baby girl. Just hit me harder. Give it all to me. Let it all come out. And when it all comes out, then I lay in his lap and I cry and he strokes my hair and he's like, you know what? You did really good. You did really good.
Okay.
And we're going to keep going on this together. You got to be in that place, baby girl, because that's what this is about for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that help?
It does. I'm sorry. I'm crying.
No, I want you to cry, sugar. I want you to cry. You should cry.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's an absolute sacred moment for you, and I want you to really give yourself permission to feel every single bit of it. That's how you're going to honor your mother, truly.
Okay.
That's how you're going to honor her, and that's how you're going to honor your capacity to love, which is extraordinary from what I can see.
Thank you so much. Your words are amazing, and you just help me so much. You always have the right words, and you're just brilliant, and
good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have this all written down.
Good.
So I'm going to be looking at this a lot.
I'm sending you a ton of angels, baby girl, and everybody that's listening is going to, too, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Good day. And
let me hear from you again, okay?
All right.
All right, sweetheart. You take care.
Okay. Thanks.
You bet. Wow. Well, everybody, I want you to say some prayers right now for Jan and for her mom. And the angels are acting up real strong today, so let's get them in line on that. We're going to take a short break so that I can compose myself. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the dating game. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer.
It must be love, love.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Miss Barb, we're back. Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Incredibly appropriate song from what we just talked about. Eagle in Native American tradition is God. He's the great father. And in that song, he's come to take someone home. Amazing stuff. So that's also just this divine little segue. So I just want to let all of you know. So, you know, last night was 4th of July. I ate way too much. Oh, God, I'm serious. I woke up in such a food coma this morning. It wasn't even funny. And so I was a little spaced out, and I got here and, you know, a little not on my game necessarily. So, of course, on the drive over here, I was absolutely entreating the angels and God to, you know, give me some clarity today. And, well, I just feel like I'm being just offered the easiest road possible today with this show because we just talked about an animal, right? Spirit guide. And that led to, of course, I wanted to give you guys your animal spirit guide for the week. And I'm just really curious if anybody had a macaw experience last week. I personally did not, but this one's a good one. It's otter. Otter is up for this week, and here's what otter is all about. And again, this is from the Animal Spirit Guides book by Stephen D. Farmer. Great dude. Otter, it's time to relax and be more playful, spontaneous, and creative. Clean up that area in your home that's needed organizing for some time. Oh, I know a few people who that applies to. Whatever struggles you're up against right now, confront them head on with courage, determination, and tenacity. Make your family a top priority at this time, and you're going to experience a surge of energy and vitality. So there's your little critter cam for the week. I hope that works for everybody out there on some level. Cool thing about that book is that not every single one of those little statements is obviously going to apply, but even if just one does, it's kind of a fun little magical thing. And then, again, look for otters, you know, running around in the streets or, you know, on a bumper sticker or whatever. that Barb's cracking up over here. That does give quite an interesting visual, doesn't it? Little otters running all over the streets. Okay, so we're going to talk about the dating thing. So I want to just do a little review here for a second about what we talked about last week. There is no such thing as casual dating. Sorry. That's a myth. A myth that should be debunked big time. And so here's what I want you to think about. I want you to always, always check your motive, actually for anything that you do, but in particular this subject. What's your motive for dating? What's your motive for getting on the internet and trolling? What's your motive for going to the singles bars and trolling? What's your motive for wanting to date? If you want friendship, all right, if that's what you're truly looking for, first of all, let me take one step back. First of all, you have to be honest with yourself. That's the most important thing. You have to truly be honest with yourself, and that's what the whole motive thing is. What is it that you're really going after? So if you want friendship, my advice is you first seek friends of your same core, meaning if you're a core feminine being, a woman, start hanging out with girlfriends. Make those relationships a priority first. Guys, same gig. Start hanging with your own kind first. Develop that aspect of the polarity piece. Develop that aspect of your core nature by being in true relationship with true core people. That is going to balance you out in ways you can't even imagine. And friendships with the opposite core beings always have polarity attraction attached to them. They always do. If there's no polarity, if you have absolutely no polarity with someone of the opposite sex, and again, remember, polarity is not gender specific, and it gets a little dicey when we talk about this because I don't want to be excluding anyone. I don't want to exclude anybody, no matter what their sexual orientation is, but polarity is very specific energetically, and it is in all relationships. I am speaking, of course, to the cultural majority because it just makes it simpler. And we only have an hour. So believe me, if I had longer, I would love to dive into how polarity is aspected in, say, homosexual relationships. In fact, we may do an entire show on that because it's really fascinating and it's so complex and there's so many angles to it. It makes homosexual relationships that much more powerful because they're dealing with not only the polarity, but they're dealing then with the actual gender issues. So it's really a fascinating subject, and I would love to do a show on that. I'll probably add that to the queue. So back to this. Friendships with the opposite core, you're going to have the attraction piece. And what you have to be willing to do is be honest with yourself about that. I can't tell you how many times I've done troubleshooting for clients over the years who come to me and they have this quote-unquote friendship with somebody and they've denied and ignored the attraction piece for however long, then all of a sudden it blows up in their face because the other person's in love with them or they realize they're in love with that person, but that person isn't interested, whatever. And it just becomes this great big nasty thing that ends up actually ruining the friendship typically. And that happens a lot when I see people who become quote unquote, and I'm really air quoting on this one, quote unquote friends with, say, a married person. and they start hanging out with that married person. We're talking one of the most volatile, dangerous emotional situations you can ever put yourself in. And it's absolutely crazy how many people do that. And they justify it because it's like, well, we're just friends. No, you're not. Not when there's polarity involved. No, ain't no such thing as just friends. Again, you can argue with gravity. You can absolutely argue with it. In the end of the day, you're going to fall on the ground if you don't trust it. So the just friends thing, if you deny the polarity, it ends up being really confused. So be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and check your motive. And it really comes down to this. It depends on what you really want. You know, what do you want in your life? Do you want to try on a bunch of people when you're dating? Do you want to, like, kiss a bunch of frogs? I'll tell you what, I haven't spoken to a single woman, and I'm not exaggerating. In all the years I've counseled, I have never talked to a single woman who has said, I love kissing all these frogs. I love going on all these dates and having them not work out. It's so much fun to just keep dating all these different people. Never heard one woman express that. And that is because the feminine heart is not wired for casual relationship, okay? It's just not. So pay attention to that. And like I said last week, I would love to see women in this culture become so much more willing to own that powerhouse side of themselves and respect it, honor it, acknowledge it, and hold it sacred. And men, I would really love to see you guys step up to the plate and be heroic and recognize that a woman cannot date casually. So if you're out there trolling for women to have, you know, hop in the sack with every couple nights, and you need to understand that you're damaging somebody irrevocably, and they might not even know it. And so you get a chance to change your viewpoint as well, and I think that would be very powerful. So, all right, my soapbox is flaming, and I'm going to stay on it. Oh, man. You know, maybe I should eat too much before every show. Maybe I should have chocolate cheesecake at 10:30 at night before every show. What do you think, Barbie? Good idea?
No, probably not. I don't know about that one.
Probably not.
You're drunk with gluttonous.
I was such a glutton. Oh, yeah. Boy.
I was yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If I believed in those seven deadly sins, I would think I was going to hell in a handbasket, baby. I would believe this flaming soapbox was actually not a soapbox. It was more like an elevator going down. So anyway, I'm going to put Barb on the hot seat.
I know. I see that.
So, okay, Sugar, talk to me about your dating experiences. I'm seriously curious because I know you've done the internet thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So talk to me about that. What's that been like for you?
Well, what do you want to know about the internet? I can tell you all of it.
Goodness.
I've done it. I've done it all. I think the internet is a great way to get out there and meet people. In today's society, there's so many people that are, they're either married to their job. So you don't meet somebody that's in your job, then what are you going to do?
Right. True.
Or maybe this is a Seattle specific too. They call it the Seattle freeze. I mean, I have all of my friends that I've known since junior high.
Right.
And there's like 30 of us that still get together like monthly to do things.
Right.
So that's a little bit intimidating when you go out into the world, someone coming up to you when you're in that environment.
Right. It's kind of like meeting someone when you're out with your family.
Correct. Yeah. Same thing. Who's going to be picking you up, you know, at the McDonald's or whatever.
with grandma, mom and dad and all the cousins there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's probably not going to happen. You don't want to throw them in the fire too quick. So I think the internet is fantastic for getting your mojo back, so to speak, because
how so?
Once you start dating and getting that confidence back, it brings this inner life into you. Okay. And so it's more than if you haven't been dating for a while. I know that every time that I jump back on the internet, it's because I've been too into events or whatever, or my life in general. And so I'm bringing the mojo back.
Yeah.
And you're totally correct that people with the misrepresentation and so forth.
That's the curse.
Totally honest. Yeah. And sometimes that is a blessing and a curse.
Absolutely.
Because I kind of attract all kinds.
Well, but isn't that the point too?
Yes. And then
there's a learning curve in that.
And there's also has to be, there's an age factor involved too, because anybody that's under the age of 30, it is not a problem. It is just like going out into the real world because they have been brought up on the internet.
Exactly.
And they're actually more honest with who they are and
yeah,
so forth.
I can see that.
You know, because it's like, this is just another avenue of dating. There is no judgment involved or anything.
Right.
It's where you get the 35 and plus, where it gets dodgy, where there's misrepresentation. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing an Iron Man decathlon, number one. Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and they're so, so busy. And you look at these profiles, and I've been very good at being able to look at profiles and how somebody conveys themselves. I really don't want somebody that conveys themselves in a novel.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I will be checking out soon.
Yeah.
And then I also look at their interests. What are their interests? Do their interests match mine and so forth?
Right.
And those type of things. So I can differentiate there.
Right.
But like I said, it's the over 35 that's a little bit more, and there's also more of the emotional issues that they bring along with it too, whether it's, you know, divorces and so forth and all that type of thing. The other thing that I get a lot of when, and then you get the other ones, and I am so guilty of this too. You just look at the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, you're like, but you have to realize if that picture was 1997.
Yes.
Or last week.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Or taken through a telescopic lens.
Yes.
Like,
I've been out with many guys that are like, oh, my God, I've been so misrepresented. I mean, I've had so many women that have come to them, and they do not look any like, I swear this isn't the same person that was in the picture and so forth,
right?
Which is very sad.
It is sad.
So I always have, like, a good picture, a bad picture, and a medium picture, you know, something
and,
like that.
Yeah.
And
listeners,
I try to stay away from any of those glamour shots, because if anything, when they do meet me, they're like, oh, right on.
Well,
score.
And let me tell you, listeners, it's impossible to imagine a bad photo of the woman that's sitting across from you. I'm serious.
There's plenty.
You're a gorgeous
girl. There's lots of documentation out there.
Well, hopefully it's not some of this stuff that ends up on the MySpace or Facebook.
Oh,
or
well, that those
face
are the best.
Planted on the couch after they passed out from too many martinis. So I totally agree with you. I think there is this incredible blessing side of the internet dating experience, and then the curse is pretty obvious in the aspect of the misrepresentation. But also, I think what troubles me about it, and I'm speaking not from experience, because I have never been remotely compelled to get on the internet dating services in my life. So my experience comes from counseling people who come to me who've had really horrific experiences. The one of the biggest problems is that false sense of intimacy that can be created. And then you're around somebody and it's a completely different experience when you're actually in someone's physical energy. And there are a lot of people who, from what I, you know, have again counseled, who will go for quite a period of time in a quote unquote relationship just on the computer, just internet, you know,
really,
just emailing, et cetera, and even talking on the phone. And then once they're in person and the challenge again for the feminine, guess what? We are going to fall in love. We're going to fall in love with the picture. We're going to fall in love with their profile. We're going to fall. And that's the feminine heart does that. That's again, polarity hardwired. So that's one of the things that, I really encourage people is to find the balance of utilizing that extraordinary tool, because it's definitely, I mean, you're going to be able to meet people you wouldn't have a prayer of meeting anywhere else. And that pun was intended there. And you need to do that very thing. You need to pray about it. You need to ask for absolute guidance. You need to literally put your profile up on, first of all, pray to be guided to the correct internet dating site. Then trust your instincts about which one you sign on for.
Mm-hmm.
Then you pray that the perfect people are answering your ads, etc. I mean, have God involved in the whole thing, because trust me, God's pretty computer literate. He knows his way around a Mac and a PC. I guarantee you. Let him help you with that. And so the whole internet thing is absolutely fascinating to me. And the other challenge that I see, which is in actual response to something that you said, was, you know, getting your confidence up by getting out there on the internet dating thing. The problem, especially for the feminine, is when you you get your hopes up, you get excited, you get all plugged in energetically, the person lets you down or they turn out to have misrepresented or whatever, and then you're crushed. And then you're back to square zero, only you're down a few notches lower in your confidence level.
But you know what? Those are the times, this is from experience, that I've actually met a good one.
Really?
Yes.
Because your defenses were down?
No, it's been more of like, oh, I'm done. I got to take a break.
Oh, yeah.
I can't be going on 20 dates during the week. You know, that type of thing. It's not working out. It's so forth. And it always ends up, every time I've ended up in a relationship afterwards, it's that last email that came in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so and so and so. And then I usually I don't take it really seriously. I'll send back this. You know, floaty kind of an email back, and then all of a sudden it starts a dialogue, and it's like, let's meet. And then both of those times I've ended up in a relationship, and good relationships for my growth.
Right. Like, and thank you. That was exactly what I was next going to say. Look at how amazing this is today. I don't even have to work. I'm just being handed my topics. This is so great. That was what I was going to say, is that you get... Every relationship you're in, whether it's a 2-day relationship or a 2-year relationship, gives you an opportunity to learn more about yourself than anything will ever teach you. It's the most extraordinary growth experience. So that is also a tremendous blessing in that whole ability to have multiple experiences in a short period of time, because you've got the connections. But that can also, you know, the curse can be that can wreak absolute havoc on your confidence level. Depends on how you handle it.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't take back, and I've been, for the last 3 years, all the internet dates, good and bad, all the crazies I've met, and all the awesomes that I've met that I don't recognize until it's too late. All of that, I would I say it to this day, I would never take back any of these experiences, because all of them get me closer and they help me define what I want.
Yeah, no regrets whatsoever.
No regrets.
And that's the key. You grieve the loss, but you do not regret a thing, because it's giving you an opportunity to find out more of who you are and potentially bring you closer to God.
Oh, totally.
So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk the specifics of God and dating. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer.
Dreams are like angels. They keep bad at bay. Love is the light, scaring darkness away. Yeah. I'm so in love with you. Purge the soul. Make love.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
I'm back.
Oh, Barb, love the music. Love it, love it, love it. If you do love it, go to iTunes, download the songs. I'll have them up on my Facebook fan page and would love to see all of you on there as well so I can chit-chat with you between shows. Oh, and the other reason why I would love to have you on my Facebook fan page, you can get on the discussions page. You can click on the discussions link and you can start a discussion. That's so much fun. Start a discussion and I'll chime in and other people will chime in and it's great stuff. So I would love to have you on there with me. So let's talk about the correct prayeritude when it comes to the dating thing. First things first, clean your house. Internal and external, literally. Look at your relationship history. No blame, no shame, no regrets. We just talked about that before the break. But just look at it. And then, you know, if you don't like the pattern, do the work necessary to heal the belief systems that set you up for that particular story. Plus, you got to create the void. You have to create the void. That's the first step in manifesting. And if you're out there looking for relationship or you're looking for a date, then you got to create a void so that it can come in. So you got to clean some things up. And, you know, feng shui always talks about cleaning the literal physical clutter around you, and that's crucially important. I've had many clients come to me who will finally get in and clean their house, and then they come, you know, a month later for a reading, and they can't understand why nothing has changed. And then when they go to pay me at the end of the session, they open their purse. There is so much clutter in their purse, and they can't find their checkbook, and everything's fallen out. And their car's a mess, so you get it. You got to clean up all your physical spaces. Most importantly, you have to do the work to cultivate the ultimate love affair, your love affair with God. You make your primary focus one of faith, and then trust that God wants you to have the love you desire. God is the consummate romantic, people. He truly is, and here's why. Because it's where he is seen most profoundly. Where the power of God, the aspect of God as love, because that's what God is expressed most powerfully through intimate relationship. It's just extraordinary. And so you better believe he wants you to have what your heart desires. So everybody talks about making lists. You make the list of your perfect person that you want to attract, right? And that's really powerful, super powerful. But here's the key. You want to write how you feel, how you're going to feel, when you have the things on that list. So start out with the list. You know, he looks a certain way. She looks a certain way. He has a particular, you know, personality, job traits, etc. Same thing for the woman, whatever it is. Start with that and then make your true list, which is how are you going to feel when you have those things? For instance, ladies, you want a partner who tells you you're beautiful every day? Then put on your list that in the relationship, you feel more beautiful than you've ever felt before. That's just flat out. And allow that to unfold in all the ways that it can. Men, you want a woman who will make love to you with literal unbridled passion? Write it down. But write that you feel more powerful and more sure of yourself as a man than you ever have before in that relationship. And then trust that to unfold in all the ways that it can. The key is feeling. The key is what's the experience going to be like? How are you going to walk in the world when you have those things? The art of manifestation is that whole believing piece, right? Acting as if, believing that it's happened already. So you got to get into the feeling of it. And that can be challenging to do. And it's so interesting when I work with clients and we start with the basic list of the attributes and qualities and the external things. And then they really struggle to even imagine how it's going to feel when they have that. And that is phenomenal information. Phenomenal information of the blocks that you potentially have in your belief systems that would prevent you from manifesting that kind of a person. So if for no other reason, if you write that list of how it's going to feel, you're going to get great information about whether or not you're willing to receive those things. Here's another fun little trick. And these are tricks. They're great little behavioral things that you can do, and they're powerful. Don't get me wrong. This is sympathetic magic. This is great stuff that you can do to attract and draw to you what you want. Just know, I'm going to sound like a broken freaking record. You have to have a belief system that supports you manifesting what you're asking for. If your belief system doesn't support having those things, it ain't going to happen. Or worse, actually, you're going to manifest it and then you're going to lose it. And that's, you know, that saying, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Not for a human being, it isn't. Because believe me, the human side of us is like, are you crazy? I don't want to feel that kind of loss. So here's a great little trick. Write a letter to the angel of love and romance. You've heard this quote from me before. The Sufi have a great saying that every blade of grass has its own angel that bends over it, entreating it to grow. Everything has an angel. Everything has like billions of angels, but you can narrow it down if your brain can't wrap around a billion angels. So write a letter to the angel of love and romance and give thanks in advance that you have exactly the kind of relationship you want. That's tons of fun. Sign it and date it just like you would a letter, and then fold it up and put it somewhere sacred. Tuck it into a Bible, put it on your altar, stick it in your sock drawer, only if your sock drawer is sacred to you. But put it somewhere powerful and important until your wish manifests. That's a great little trick. Here's one of my favorites as far as taking action, because that's the other thing. This is all a balance, everybody. You got to be in balance with this stuff. And you can't just be completely in faith and not take any action. Sit back and twiddle your thumbs and then just trust. First of all, that's not going to get you anywhere, because God has to act through you. So he's going to compel you to take some actions. But also, it's impossible, because then we're going to start to try and control things, because that's just human nature, especially when it's love is concerned, because it's something that is so desirable, right? All right. So the acting as if piece is actually a ton of fun. So here's how it works. So if you want, obviously, I'm talking intimate relationship here. I'm talking the end all of the be all, meaning the outcome of the dating game. Because what is it? What's the outcome of the dating game? It's relationship. Okay, that's the true key. Going back to my whole, you know, check your motives and be honest. So you act as if you have the relationship by, for instance, by, ladies, this is a great one for you. So you want to go to the store and buy 5 or 6 of those really, really nice men's hangers, those really beautiful wooden heavy-duty ones that are really, really cool. And you clear out some closet space and you hang those in that closet, because you're acting as if he's there with you. You're acting as if he's already part of your life, an important part of your life. You can buy Hallmark, or pretty much any card store now has usually a section of cards on new love. And these cards are great. They'll say things like, you know I haven't known you very long, but, you know, you're already really important to me, and da da da. And they're great. They're romantic and poetic and fabulous, and probably say things that you might feel, you know, afraid to say of your own accord. Buy one, okay? Buy one and hang on to it until you're in that relationship and it's appropriate to give that person that card. You're acting as if you have it. You want a new car? Buy a keychain first. That's how this stuff works, all right? Get a bottle of wine if you're a wine connoisseur, and don't crack it open until you're in that relationship. Buy it for the sole purpose of having it on one of the dates that you go on with this person. You know, those are some really cool things that you can do. Sympathetic magic. It's the oldest form of magic. It's what the cave paintings were all about. Our ancestors drew paintings on cave walls of the animals that they wanted to attract, because energetically it would get their brains in line with the hunt, right? That's how the law of attraction works. Here's another great little tool. Tarot cards are phenomenal meditation tools, right? Because they're so visual and they're so beautiful. If you don't have a tarot deck, go buy one. I recommend them for everybody, even if you don't read the cards. They're great visual, inspirational tools. The Lovers is a great card. You want to check the imagery in certain decks, because the truth of the Lovers is actually a card of choice. It isn't necessarily the true love card. It's a card of choice. But it's actually very appropriate if you're thinking in terms of, you know, being honest with yourself and clean and checking your motives and wanting right relationship. Then you can use that card specifically to indicate that you're making the best choice for yourself. Lovers is a great card. Two of Cups in pretty much every deck is traditionally the marriage card. It's a hugely lovey card. Voyager deck, which is the deck that I use primarily for professional stuff. The Three of Cups is gorgeous, and it's titled Love. It's a great card. Tarot cards are a great meditation tool, and you literally focus on the imagery, imagine how you will walk in the world when you have that relationship, and do your prayers around it. It's a great little tool. Speaking of walking in the world, feminine in particular, girls, we are the embodiment of divine love. That is what we are. We shine the light of God into the world, and that is our greatest gift. So, and I'm not being new agey, I'm being serious. You walk in the world embodying divine love. You really own your truth as that beloved child of God and be in your core to the best of your ability. And you're loving as an energetic gift to the world, okay? And believe me, that is honey for the bees, big time. So what does it look like? Well, women, it's about having a love affair with everybody whose path you cross. You know, go into the grocery store, and when you're in line, you tell the person ahead of you that they look great in that particular sweater that they're wearing, and you mean it, and you look them in the eye, and you smile at them, and you make them feel like they're 10 feet tall. That's having a love affair with the world. It's really powerful. And cultivate your relationship with the people that you love, your friends, your family, etc., with God. Be in the world in that energy, and then trust is a big deal. You know, you got to heal your trust issues, and you have to trust God. That's paramount for the woman, for the feminine, in order to attract the kind of love slash date you desire. Men, it's about you being the ultimate protector provider for everyone whose path you cross. You know what, guys, today, take a risk, open a door for a woman. If she hands your head back to you because she's, you know, insulted that you went against her feminist strength, then so be it. That's her issue. But give it a shot. Be really authentic in that. Be open, be loving, be connected, be strong and purposeful. Get your life together. Get your life together. Heal your issues about failure and success, guys, because that's hardwired into you too. And work with God as your ultimate leader. That's going to put you in a position to attract the perfect love, the perfect dates. All right. Bottom line, you got to ask God and you got to trust God to guide you to the perfect mate at the perfect time. This is where the three stages of manifestation are pretty much the most difficult to appreciate, because stage two can be a real bear when you're wanting that thing to show up and it hasn't yet, but you got to keep the faith. So I'm going to rattle off some great prayers, and I will absolutely post these on my Facebook page. I'll try to get those up today. And here they are. God now brings into my life the right people who can help me and make me happy, and whom I can help and make happy. Those people who are no longer for my highest good now fade out of my life and find their good elsewhere, and I bless them on their way. I am in true relationship with all people in all situations now. That one is super powerful. And these prayers, by the way, are from Catherine Ponder and Florence Scovel Shin. Here's another one. Divine love is doing its perfect work in me and through me now. Divine love, expressing through me, now draws to me all that is needed to make me happy and my life complete. I love that one. This one is one of my favorites. I walk in the charmed circle of God's love, and I am divinely irresistible to my highest good now. Brrr. That's going to give you some good mojo. And the final one, and this one is amazing. God's promises are built upon a rock. As I have asked, I must receive. God wants you to have the perfect date, kids. He wants you to have the perfect mate, kids. So trust it. Get out there and have some fun. Thank you so much, everybody, for a wonderful show. I hope you have a great week. Barb, you rock, sweet pea. Thank you so much. I will be back next week. Have no idea what my show is going to be about next week. So we're either going to do a psychic free-for-all or we're going to do one of our topics. I'll let you know on Facebook. But join me anyway, and we'll see what we're going to do next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. This is Michelle Morgan. Listen on a prayer. Bye.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.